You're on deck with Ursula Camille, and this is The Triage Room. The Triage Room is a podcast that encourages and empowers listeners to overcome obstacles of pain. Pain is the physical suffering or discomfort caused by illness or injury. When we describe the type of pain we're having, we're really describing the symptoms. Once we identify the symptoms, then we can deal with the root. Welcome to The Triage Room. You're now on deck with Ursula Camille, and this is The Triage Room. Today's topic, changing of the guard. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Let's take a look at verse 10 through 14. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Verse 24, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Verse 25, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." 26, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." 27 through 35, "And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented. So here we have Saul, who was king, and Saul did not obey the instructions of the Lord, the commandment that was given for what he was to do. Saul did some things, but Saul didn't do all things. And the thing here with Saul is he was in a position as king, and he feared the people. And he did not obey what the instructions were given to him that God wanted him to do. So even Samuel coming to him, knowing already that God revealed that Saul did not obey. But yet in Saul's eyes and in Saul's statement to Samuel, he was like, I have obeyed the commandments of the Lord. I did what I was supposed to do. No, you didn't. Because if you did, I wouldn't be hearing what I hear. And so Saul, instead of really looking at what he should have been doing, really looking at the instructions of what he was given, he was too focused and caught up on the people. And even when it was brought to his attention of when he was chosen to be king, the state he was in, and that he did not obey what God said, rather than him taking ownership, fully taking ownership of his failure to do so, he wants to be pardoned for his sin. Yes, he admitted, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. But what did he say next? He wanted him to pardon him for his sin. Now, therefore, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. So he was wrong. He was in error. And because of this, God let it be known that he had rent the kingdom of Israel from him and gave it to a neighbor that was better than him. Better has been chosen. You had the responsibility. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. So I've chosen someone better. So here is the change, the changing of the guard. Here is a new king that's being placed in position. Someone new to lead. Someone new that has been chosen that is better for the assignment that has been given. And even the instruction that Saul was given, Samuel, in the end, had to complete the assignment. For what Saul did not do, Samuel had to step in and complete what God needed to be done. So the wrath, that assignment that God gave to Saul to do, after Saul did not complete it, Samuel stepped in to make sure that it got done. And then here we can also see how after Samuel let Saul know that he wouldn't return with him because he rejected the word of the Lord. So the Lord has rejected him from being king. And then Samuel turned to go his way. Then here goes Saul. He gonna lay hand upon the skirt of his mantle and it ripped. It tore. There was a tear. How many times have you ever witnessed those who have not done what they're supposed to do, who have not been obedient to what God has given instruction to do? And then the assignment is over. You're just the messenger. The assignment is done. And now it's time for you to part ways and go to your next assignment to get that task done that God wants done. And they don't want to let go. They still want to hold on. But see here, even by Saul ripping the skirt of his mantle, this is symbolic to a sign by his own hands. If Saul wanted to know what was next, all he had to do was look at what he did with his own hands. When he grabbed the skirt of Samuel's mantle and it tore, it was rent. That was symbolic. For just as the kingdom was torn from his hands and given to another. And sometimes there are those who, all you got to do is look at what have you done with your hands. By your own hands, there's a sign. By your own hands, you want to see a sign? You want to know what's next? By your own hands, there goes the sign. But Saul was so caught up and fixated on not losing, not relinquishing, even though God had already spoken. That rejection had such a strong grip. Like, he was caught up on the wrong things. Not that he failed God, not that he was disobedient to God. He wanted his sin pardoned. And then he wanted Samuel to still stand with him. Here we go outward for what others may think. If you still there, then it'll still look like I know what I'm doing. If you still there, then it still look like I'm still in the position. I'm still there. Okay, so now Saul has torn the skirt of Samuel's mantle. Because it's already been told to him, the kingdom is going to be given to somebody else, somebody better. So now, since Saul did what he did, and the Lord is making it be known that he has rejected him from being king over Israel, and he has given it to somebody better. And one can say, okay, how is that somebody better? In what aspect? Because Saul's too caught up with the people. So somebody better has a heart for God. Somebody better is who God has chosen. So Saul didn't want to let go. And Samuel ended up turning again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord, but it wasn't to say, okay, I'm standing with you to say you've been forgiven for disobeying what God is saying, what God has told you to do, and restored to continue on in your position and continue on with the things that were given in place, with the responsibilities that were originally given. That's not what this is. No, you want to worship? Okay, go ahead and worship. You know what God has already said. You know that has already been taken from you. It's going to be given to another. You know that. I know that. God knows that. You don't want the people to get wind of what's really going on. You want the people to still look at things as if they are the way that they used to be. And they're not like that. It's not that way anymore. God has already spoken. And then we can take a look at 2 Samuel 12 verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So here we have David who he sinned. He saw another man's wife. He laid with her. She bare a child. And because of his sin, you know, the child ended up dying. And David just set up and orchestrated all of this stuff to have the man taken out during a war. And so Bathsheba's husband, he died. And then he took on Bathsheba to be a wife. And all of this was sin in the eyes of God. God was not in agreement with that. But here Nathan came and gave him a story, explaining a parable to him. And then David gave, you know, what he thought should happen to the man who did this. And he was really not knowing. He was talking about himself. But instead of David doing like Saul, pardon my sin, he owned it. Well, the first thing he said after it being revealed that it was him that Nathan was talking about, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Not pardon my sin, "I have sinned." So after admitting, "I have sinned against the Lord," not looking to escape the consequences of his actions, not looking to see, okay, I did it and I want to slide by, he owned it. Now, there were consequences for what he did, but he still owned it. And here we can see the changing of the guard. King Saul was in position, and he did not do what God gave him instructions to do. And then here comes Samuel, already knowing, because God already revealed this man ain't been obedient. He's too busy caught up with what people think. He's too busy caught up with the outward part. He's not even understanding the position of authority that's been placed into his hands. So since he doesn't know, I'm going to give it to someone better. And it's not saying that who he chose was sinless. It's not saying who he chose did not make mistakes. It's not saying who he chose was perfect. No, who he chose took ownership of his wrongdoing. And when you have one in position of authority and you're not looking at the right things and you're too busy focusing on what's outward instead of, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? This is a representation that shows there's a changing of the guard. There's a changing of one and someone else coming in to continue the assignment is that God wants done, to continue the work. With Saul, there was too much dysfunction. There's too much dysfunction there. Dysfunction leading people, and I got things I need to get done? No, that's not going to work. Here's my moment of transparency. I've learned that the quicker you take ownership for the mistake, the choices, the decisions, the things that you do, the quicker you own it. That is a level of maturity. That is taking responsibility. And whatever's on the other side, the journey that you're on, you're saying, I am responsible enough to own up to my error, my choices, my mistakes. And I know what it's like to reflect and say, focusing on the wrong of what may have been done. But I also know what it's like to say, you know what? Let me focus on me. Let me look at what did I do, because that person did not make me say yes to them. That person did not make me do whatever it is that transpired. The quicker I owned it, the quicker I said, I could have made a different decision, the faster I was able to move on. The healing process could begin. And there's more that I could be trusted with. I've learned through experience from my own journey and even observing the things and journeys of others to see what happens when you do not take ownership. Just like with Saul, there can be a removal that comes that you didn't even see coming. And there could be a replacement. There could be one to continue to work. And just because you've been chosen to do an assignment does not mean you're flawless. Does not mean you are perfect. It just means you can be trusted. You're being trusted in that season, in that moment with this assignment. What will you do with it? And that is what I have learned. When one does not take ownership of what has been placed under their watch, they've been given the responsibility to do, and the blame game is on what everybody else has done. Without even knowing, when one does that, you are sounding an alarm to let others know who have an ear to hear. What you're saying is, you're not mature enough, you're not ready, you're not prepared, and you cannot be trusted over what was given to you in your hands. Because when you were given the opportunity, you did not handle it right. And when there's something that has to be done, and this has nothing to do with being driven, this has to do with things have to be done precisely. And between Saul and David, it shows neither one of them were perfect. Nobody's perfect. Both flawed. But the thing between the difference between the two, one wanted that sin pardoned, breeze over. I've witnessed people breeze over the error, breeze over what was done. Don't want to take ownership. But then you have others, just like David. I've sinned against the Lord. Owning it, standing in it, and knowing. Even with David, there were still consequences for his sin. It did not take away the consequences, but he remained in position. So the changing of the guard, the new king, this is something that the Lord gave me, and this can apply in so many different aspects of life. Whatever it is, if you've been given a position of leading, a position of authority, do not abuse it. Whatever mistakes you've made, whatever bad choices you've made, the best thing one can do is own up to it, because God knows the truth. You can lie to somebody else, but God knows the truth. God knows the heart of man. God sees all and he knows all. And the quicker one takes ownership of the error, of the sin, whatever it may be, does not mean there won't be consequences, but there's forgiveness. Because as we see in verse 13, he says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Own it. Pay attention. There's a changing of the guard. And there's a changing of the guard for a reason. Some have been in position and have not been doing what God has instructed them to do. And there's an assignment and work that has to be done. And some are too busy caught up with the outward, what other people think, how other people see, and fearing man, fearing being rejected, fearing not being accepted. And just because the people are celebratory does not mean God is pleased. So I encourage you, whatever you've been given to do, do it and do it well. Whatever you've been given to do, do not look at the outside. Don't focus on the wrong things. Take ownership. Whatever mistakes you've made, whatever bad choices you've made, own it and stay focused on the assignment that God has given. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, just to say thank you. Lord, I thank you for life, health, and strength. God, I ask you that those that may be in a position of leading and have been focusing on the wrong things, that God, as they hear what's being spoken, Father, I'm asking you, allow them to turn from the ways that are not pleasing you, that understanding may come forth. The quicker one takes ownership for the mistakes and the choices, and not look at trying to get out of the consequences that come with the choices, that is how one can remain and do and execute the assignment that's been given. That God, eyes be open to see where focus has been on the wrong things. Focus has been in the wrong place. And those, God, that you are raising up as this changing of the guard is taking place, the new that is coming, that those, God, that you're placing in position have been prepared. They've been on a journey, just like David. They've been on a journey. They've been in battles. They've been prepared for this time. And that whatever struggles they may have when it comes to the flesh, Lord, that they deal with those things, God, that they cast their cares upon you, allowing themselves, God, to understand the assignment, to fulfill the assignment, to be obedient to what it is you've already spoken and to what it is you shall speak. And for those, Lord, that have to share that there is a change, to share, to deliver the message, there has been a changing of the guard. That God, you give them righteous boldness to speak whatever needs to be spoken. And they don't allow themselves to get entangled in the neediness and the pulling of man and man's ways of wanting things to be and seen a certain way, Lord. That when the messenger's assignment is over with that particular vessel and the messenger's assignment is done to move on to the next assignment, Lord, that, Lord, the messenger continues to move, God, and do what it is you've instructed them to do. Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You all be blessed. Thank you for joining me on deck in the triage room. To get the music you hear in this podcast or to stay connected, visit my website, ursulacamille.com. That's URSELACAMILLE.com. Sign up on my email list, get merch and more. Have an area of pain you want to address in the triage room? Send your email to thetriageroom@gmail.com. I'm your host, Ursula Camille, signing off. Be blessed. One touch and your life will change. Did you know that Jesus reigns? One touch and your life will change.